Sunday, February 23rd. Sexagesima Sunday. The Epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 19 through 33, and chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in the past. Wherein if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ, I speak as one less wise. I am more, in many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watching, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is scandalized and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus the governor of the nation under Aretas the king guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise, and heard secret words which it is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth. But I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan, to buffet me. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul still continues to speak ironically that they will permit him to praise himself in his own justification, since they have permitted these false teachers to reduce them to bondage under the law, to devour their substance, and to behave haughtily to them, striking them on the face, etc. When St. Paul says, I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in the past, interpreters are divided on this verse. The sense seems to be, I speak what others took upon as dishonorable in us, that we had not the like authority over you as these false teachers, and therefore could not keep you in such subjection as they have done. But yet I must tell you that, wherein if any man is bold, I am bold also. That is, I have no less motives to domineer and boast than they have. And then he proceeds to particulars. They are ministers of Christ, I am more. That is, because I am an apostle chosen and sent by Jesus Christ, appointed in a special manner to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He received 40 stripes minus one, because the Jews had power under the Romans to inflict punishments, not indeed capital, but corporal, such as flogging. The law in Deuteronomy 25:3 permitted, but did not command, 40 stripes to be inflicted. It strictly forbade that number to be exceeded. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. This was before the shipwreck in his voyage to Rome, by which we may take notice that St. Luke, in the Acts of the Apostles, omits a great many things relating to St. Paul. As also when he adds, a night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. St. John Chrysostom understands it in these 2 ways. First, that he was truly and literally in the middle of the sea. Secondly, that he was floating or swimming in the sea after shipwreck, which seems the more common interpretation. St. Paul in the whole of this discourse shows the repugnance he had of speaking in his own praise, and that if he did it, it was only through constraint and for the advantage of the Corinthians, as also to defend himself from his calumniators. When he says, I know a man in Christ caught up to the third heaven, He speaks of himself as if it were a third person. He says, whether in the body I know not. If St. Paul himself knew not, how can we pretend to decide whether his soul was for some moment separated from his body, or in what manner he saw God? It appears that this took place about the period when the Holy Ghost commanded that he should be separated for the work whereunto he was called, Acts 13:2. St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas are of opinion that this third heaven and paradise are the same place, and designate the abode of the blessed. In order to understand the language of the Apostle, we must observe that the Hebrews distinguish three different heavens. The first comprised the air, the clouds, etc., as far as the fixed stars. The second included all the fixed stars. And the third was the abode of the angels, in which God himself showed his infinite glory. The first is called in Scripture simply the heavens, the second the firmament, and the third the heaven of heavens. The sting in the flesh, or the messenger of Satan, signifies anything that pricks or stings, the Greek word a sharp stick or pale. He speaks by a metaphor, as also when he says to buffet me, that is, by causing great trouble or pain. Some understand by it a violent headache or pain or distemper in the body. St. Augustine and St. Jerome also speak of this opinion and do not reject it. But St. John Chrysostom, by the sting and the angel of Satan, understands that opposition which St. Paul met with from his enemies and those of the gospel, as Satan signifies an adversary. Others understand troublesome temptations of the flesh, immodest thoughts and representations suggested by the devil and permitted by Almighty God for his greater good. He besought the Lord many times to be freed from it, but received only this answer from God, that his grace was sufficient to preserve him from consenting to sin, and that power and strength and virtue should increase and be perfected in weakness and by temptations when they are resisted. If there were any danger of pride from his revelations, the base and filthy suggestions of the enemy of souls must cause humiliations and make him blush. But these are to be borne with submission to the will of God, for his power is more evident in supporting man under the greatest trials than in freeing him from the attacks. The strength and power of God more perfectly shines forth in our weakness and infirmity, as the more weak we are of ourselves, the more illustrious is his grace in supporting us and giving us the victory under all trials and conflicts. The more I suffer for Christ, the more I perceive the effects of his all-powerful grace, which sustains, enlightens, and strengthens me. The more also the glory and power of God appears in me. The Gospel from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto Jesus, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And other some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And other some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up yielded fruit a hundredfold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be, to whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing may not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell away among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But on the good ground are they who in a good and perfect heart, hearing this word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Haydock Commentary. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That is, he that is willing to hear the word of God and diligently comply with what is therein commanded, let him be attentive to the words of Christ. For the sight, hearing, and other senses were not given to man to be used only as beasts use them, but likewise that they might profit his soul to eternal life. After the multitude had left our divine Savior, his disciples, wishing thoroughly to understand the meaning of his instructions, came to him and desired he would give them an explanation of the parable.